Welcome back, Howling with the Crew, already on this Monday night, and they keep telling me there was allegedly a weekend, although it went by in about, 2 hours, and crazy out there. We have a lot of information this next hour for you. Erica is here, as always. The two people causing the most trouble out there, I think, arguably could be Erica and myself, because we're telling it straight. I continue to see nothing but an avalanche of lies and distortion and twisting mixed in with good information. That's called disinformation. Remember the 80-10, 90, or 80-20, 90-10 rule. It always works. And some of these people that have been foisted upon us and created opposition figures, they're nothing more than actors for the deep state. You've got to keep that in mind. And so what if they put out 85, 90% good information? Are you and everyone else smart enough to discern which you should take most seriously? I think you people, this audience, by and large, is. But the sheep who stare at the screen and they stare at the big three, you know who I'm talking about, and they suck that in, forget it. And then we have Lee Merritt, who had I happen to see this program. First of all, hey, partner, you there?
Hello. Yes, I'm here, Jeff.
All right. That's Erica. Now, I saw a program with Dr. Lee Merritt. That's the woman who had the Speedo bikini on, and she was a bodybuilder and all greased up and oiled and in her 60s, and, you know, more power to her. All right, that's fine. But here she is now, on sitting on top of a minor empire, right? She's got her own superstore with, I think, over 100 supplements of just private labeled stuff. And same old, nothing new. But here she comes on the air with a program, and somebody sent this to me. And here's Lee, and she says, "This is the most important program I have ever done," or something very close to that. I'm paraphrasing. "This is the most important program I may have ever done, or I have ever done. And I'm going to sit aside and let this guest that I have on pretty much lay it out." And the guest is, as I believe, a woman of Indian or Pakistani extraction or something, I don't know. And her name is Purnima. I immediately renamed her Poor Mina. I like it better. So Poor Mina comes out there and starts rattling off this bullshit. And Lee is right there. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. You're right. Yep. 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 Total agreement. So Poor Mina just keeps rolling this stuff out. Well, it's about a 40-minute interview. I watched a good portion of it. Now people on these various social media boards are beginning to look into Poor Mina and her background. And guess what? There is none. She appears to be a consummate fraud. And here's Butch Merritt telling us all about how important this is, and this is the most important interview she's ever done. And then it looks like Poor Mina has no degree from any recognizable university, most particularly the one that she claimed to have graduated from. Excuse me. And in other words, in all likelihood, unless she can produce some hard certificates of accomplishment, she's a fake. So now Merritt is trying to obviously dig her way out of the hole she stepped in. And it was just a joke. And the illustration here is that, not to pick on Merritt, there are plenty of other people to pick on, and we've picked on him. Beef Stew, come on. Obvious deep state creation. And Merritt got this enormous boost, came out of nowhere. Why? Because she's articulate, she has a good presence, she knows how to make a nice word salad, and people are willing to just sit down and have some. So she's been elevated tremendously. She's been on all the big talk platforms and this and that. But this was a big blunder. She didn't check Poor Mina out nearly close enough. And Poor Mina has apparently no degrees of any substance from anywhere she mentioned. And how does it look to you, partner?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit not unconvinced, let's say, by her. And, you know, you can tell by the vocabulary people use that they don't have the experience that they're telling that they have. And so I was not surprised when several people, Steve Kirsch among them, started to ask questions about her. And when they did a little bit of digging, you know, it just nothing that she said held water. Apparently, she was claiming she had two PhDs from the one of the big institutions in the UK, and that didn't pan out.
Wait a minute. You're being very sweet and kind. She's a goddamn liar. It's a fraud.
Yeah, and I, you know, you wonder, again, here's this nonsense machine with the virus deniers going full tilt. And I think they thought they could just, you know, throw some weight behind it with this woman. But they didn't check her out thoroughly, I guess. I don't know. It's really quite perplexing.
Well, Kirsch and his girlfriend, Jamie Rose, is it? What is
Jessica
it?
Rose, yes.
Jessica Rose.
It wasn't just them. It was several people.
No, the others. Don't think it was just two or three. Nobody can find anything.
I mean, she didn't.
Nothing.
The things that she was saying were just, you know, for people that have followed this topic from the beginning, it just none of it was adding up.
So,
and then you know, the giveaway is that you know, no scientist comes out and makes these types of pronouncements without, you know, some certainty that what they're saying can be held up to scientific scrutiny and it's in some sort of consensus with other scientists. And you know, this idea that there's nothing but graphene or heavy metals in these things, and all we have to do is
heavy metal detox. We'll
heavy metal detox, parasite cleanse, and you know, they it's just one big hoax. So I'd be cautious with that.
And if you watch the interview, watch Lee agreeing with virtually every opportunity she has to agree with what poor Mina has to say. Poor Mina's last name is Wag, by the way, W-A-G-H. Anyway, yeah. Oh, nodding her head. Yep. No viruses. What am I at? That virus thing is a bunch of crap. And they just went on and on. 40 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I think it was longer than that. The first one was several hours, wasn't it?
I believe three. At any rate, it's look, we, all of us, good, bad, and indifferent, are in the hands of people and their constructs. They're created opposition constructs, and they are running the media carnival sideshow. It's a carny act. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's to keep you confused.
Yeah.
You have not heard the word amyloid or amyloidosis, except on this program. Maybe once in a blue moon. And I'm getting more and more people sending me little clips and things. Well, guess what such and such said? Sound exactly like you guys. Yeah, well, they're listening. That's fine. Listen up. We don't play games here. We're not always right, but we're first to admit that. And these people who get guests on their programs and immediately agree with them, yep, that's right, yep, there's no intelligent discourse going on there. It's all a carny act. With a unfortunately predicated on a bedrock of some truth. That's the trick.
There's no doubt there's a lot of money to be made right now on fear.
Taking advantage of,
you know, some of these
fear-stricken, grief-stricken people who have lost friends and they are scared crapless that the same thing's going to happen to them. So go to my superstore, buy my supplements, and you've got a chance.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, that aspect of it is being shamelessly exploited. Shamelessly.
So, okay, enough. And again, we could pick on a dozen different people easily and have. So you don't think I'm singling anybody in particular out. Remember little Andy Kaufman and that awfully nice toupee he got all of a sudden. I mean, wait, come on. If you can't have any fun at this and be honest about criticism, you shouldn't be in media. You shouldn't be there. And
takes people's attention off of what they should be focusing on, you know, attempting to understand what's being done to people. I wish it was just heavy metals. I'm not convinced of that at all. Are there heavy metals in these things? Yes, probably. It's known that they use certain heavy metals, aluminum being one of them, as adjuvants. Copper is another one that they use to increase the protein translation of some of these gene transfections. So these nano particulates in the form of heavy metals have been put into vaccines for several years now. But I'm not convinced that there is not any genetic material in here. There most certainly is, if people are suddenly capable of producing spike protein and making themselves and others around them sick.
Well, look, here's the we got to get to some things here. The point is, if Lee Merritt, with her newfound fame and celebrity, introduces poor Mina Wag as the most important interview you are ever about to hear, and it turns out that poor Mina is a fraud, if it turns out poor Mina is a fraud, and it certainly looks that way, I think Ms. Merritt owes us all a bit of an apology. Just a little, to put it mildly.
Well, yeah, it
ain't going to happen.
Her credibility.
But, no. I mean, I don't know how you go from a orthopedic surgeon no longer practicing to a nanotech microbiology expert who is only too happy to pronounce viruses don't exist. Come on. Anyway, we will do the best we can here, and it is perfectly fair and on the desk, on the table, to criticize people and to ask questions about people like we are doing and like we have always done. So there you go.
I agree. Yep.
If we don't ask the questions, who is? Who will? Nobody. Let's just let it go.
It's a fairly serious topic in that, you know, this thing is a biological weapon. And, you know, if we can't understand it, every time we try to explain it or whatever, we're derailed by these virus deniers who are accusing us of fear-mongering. Well, what's the alternative explanation for why people are getting sick in the manner in which they're getting sick? They haven't been able to propose an alternative mechanism for that.
Nor will they. And, by the way, I happen to see one of the big three say, yes, we really should stop referring to this as a vaccine. It's a bioweapon. When did you first hear that on this program? Way over a year ago.
Yeah.
And so now it's become...
It is a bioweapon, yeah.
Now it's de rigueur, and it's part of the fabric of the deep state and their three big platforms. So, I mean, I look at this stuff, and I feel sorry for people trying desperately to make their way through this, and they keep throwing wrenches in the monkey works, or monkeys in the wrench works, however you want to phrase it. It's not easy. And these people are now being led down the graphene oxide road. Oh, graphene oxide, that's it. It's all graphene oxide.
Right.
And then it's all 5G or whatever. Look, we know 5G is very bad for you. We know EMR, electromagnetic radiation, is very bad for us. We know that. Is it directly infused with some kind of control over what we're being injected with these bioweapons? I don't know. We don't know yet for sure. We're watching very carefully. The bottom line to all of this is that shedding is a matter of life and death now. It is getting worse. It is becoming more pronounced. And we'll talk more about that during this hour. So now we've got a couple videos that Erica found and sent over. Let me find the first one. Okay, you want to go with the 6-in-1 super jab first or the untested boosters first?
Oh, let's go with the untested boosters. That should be, okay. They are. They're ready to go. Moderna is already approved. Now, Moderna, it will cover the spike protein from the original strain, which is obsolete, and the Omicron BA1 subvariant. And the Pfizer is ready to go. The Pfizer, I guess, was just approved in the UK this week. That will cover the original strain, the Wuhan strain, which is obsolete, and the Omicron BA4 and BA5.
Okay. What a shopping day at the store. Your cart is full, and it'll go right into your arm.
And none of these have been tested. None of these have been tested in humans. They had a small mouse study.
Yeah.
And the benchmark was that the benchmark was an immune response, meaning they generated antibodies. There was no discussion as to whether or not the antibodies were protective. All they had to show was it generated an immune response. Well, we're now finding out that, and we've known for some time, at least with coronavirus, that the antibodies are not the correlates of protection for a coronavirus infection. And in fact, in many cases, the antibodies tend to act as infection enhancing in a future exposure. But we'll just ignore that for now.
All right. This is a minute and 38 video. It's a short video, and I can't identify either peep. Who are these people? The interviewer on the left is somebody. It's called Squawk Box.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's CNBC. I forget that. Is it Joe something? Kernan?
Well,
does that sound right?
He looks like a Joe. All right.
And the guy on the right is Scott Gottlieb, who was the former commissioner of the FDA. FDA. And is now on the advisory board of Pfizer.
Gosh, gee, I am stunned. It's musical chairs, friends.
It is.
It's a club, and we ain't in it, okay? And the money just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing. And I the second quarter Pfizer profit was $27 billion, and I heard another commentator say the third quarter profit looks like it's shaping up to be over $100 billion for Pfizer.
Jeez.
So you wonder. And remember, Big Al Borla was flown on El Al to Israel, at least I assume it was El Al, and given the Israeli state prize that in their minds equals the Nobel Prize. And I don't know on what grounds they gave it to him, maybe because he came up with such a brilliant genocidal marketing plan. I don't know. But he was given the highest award that the state of Israel can give anyone. So think about that. All right, here's this little video for you.
Doctor, this is kind of fulfills the promise of the technology to some extent, that it's like a software upgrade, and we probably can be fairly confident that it would not be that different in terms of how it works or what the side effect profile. Is that what is allowing us to do this without additional trials?
Yeah, look, I think you're seeing the FDA change its orientation towards the approval of these vaccines more towards how they view flu vaccines, that they can make extrapolations from the immunogenicity data, the data on the ability of the vaccine to generate an antibody response, and impute from that what the clinical benefit of the vaccine is going to be. Remember, we don't only have data from the ancestral strain. We have, obviously, tens, hundreds of millions of patient data from the ancestral strain vaccine. Many people receive that, receive boosters of that. We also have data from clinical trials involving the vaccine that was developed against B1. We have clinical data from the trials of the vaccine that was developed against Delta. the vaccine that was generated against B117, the vaccine that was generated against the original South African strain. So there's now been multiple vaccines that have been developed, that have been put into clinical development, clinical trials, and FDA is looking across all that data.
Did he say what I thought he said? I'm going to back this up. Did he say put in political trials and then correct himself and say clinical trials? Let me back this up just a little. I swear that's what I heard.
So there's now been multiple vaccines that have been developed, that have been put into clinical development, clinical trials, and FDA is looking...
He's clear. He said clinical twice. My error. All right.
All that data, and they're seeing consistency in terms of their ability to not just see a safety profile that's consistent across those different vaccines, but also be able to impute a clinical benefit based on the immunogenicity data, the antibody response from the vaccine. I think that's what's informing their ability to now move towards this new paradigm that really reflects how they treat flu vaccines.
Okay, Missy, what did he just say?
Well, he said that because the initial injections were so successful and they had an excellent safety profile that we can just proceed based on this platform because they're already proven to be safe and effective. So, we can code for any protein we want and as needed, without having to go through clinical trials. We've already established the safety and efficacy.
Thank you.
What's safety profile?
It's de facto. It's done before they even start. They do not have to test anything that they're going to roll out and mass distribute and inject into humanity in this country. We used to have an incredible safety system. Remember the bird flu? All right. What was it? 57 people died from the bird flu vax?
I thought it was 20-something. Wasn't 26, 27?
27. 27, not 57. Whatever. It was a minuscule amount. And they pulled that thing so fast your head spun. Now, we've got, I'd say, 10 million dead in the U.S. McCullough says 1 million dead. What's the difference? 9 million. There should be no million dead in the United States.
No.
And yet people are accepting it. How in the hell can this happen? Where people
become so desensitized.
Go ahead.
Not to mention all the people that are disabled now.
Disabled, wounded, injured for life, life destroyed, and only getting worse. Very, very few, if any, have I ever heard of a case of someone who had been severely injured coming back to full and vibrant health. It doesn't happen. Remember the CCP video? We should pull that back out. The guy said, there were seven people on the screen. These are all communist PLA members. And the big guy, Mr. Big, had half the screen on the left. The other six were crammed on the right. And he said, the Americans, don't worry about the Americans. Everyone who has taken one shot is dead. Don't worry. Now, that doesn't count the heroic nurses. There are two that I know of, have heard about, that have given out thousands of saline injections to save lives.
Mm.
And one's in Germany, one was here, I think, but I don't remember. But there are a few who take pity on someone and give them a saline injection. And I think there have been lots of doctors who will do that with their patients. I'm going to give some of them credit because there are some wonderful people working in the field of medicine. They're not all subhuman creeps and worse. So anyway, there's your no testing needed. Don't worry. Nothing to see here. Just roll up that sleeve. Not a problem. Okay. So the second video is coming soon. Moderna's 6-in-1 super jab composed.
No, actually, that's not a video. That's an article.
Oh, sorry, I'm up one. But that's another one. That's got flu, COVID, and RSV combined in it, as I mentioned earlier. Here's Dr. McCullough. Set up McCullough here. Go ahead.
McCullough is giving his comments to this no testing for any additional boosters. You know, obviously he's outraged and incredulous, but...
Alex, we've covered...
All right. So here we go. He's on InfoWars with AJ, and this is his response about no more testing needed.
Alex, we've covered the latest boosters. They were released before any human testing is complete. This is the first time in medical history that a product was developed and not tested in a single human being, and the government's going to roll this out and now say a needle in every arm. This is the shots being, this is brought right up until a few days ago. Look at this. Had that big push in 2020. Everyone was scared, safe and effective, safe and effective. Then we got through 2021, that secondary wave, those are the mandates. People say, listen, I don't want to take these, but I got to take it for my job. Now look at this. We're down to no interest in these. I predict, since the companies that made these bivalent vaccines, the United States, by the way, has bought enough boosters for nearly the entire country. We have drained our treasury dry. What are they going to do? They've bought all this product. It's going to be shipped to the pharmacies. Look at the data here. Nobody wants these. We are going to have the biggest tension of, are people going to be clobbered with mandates and pressure and coercion to take these untested products, or is America going to have the wherewithal and the strength to say no more?
I'm going to play that again.
Alex, we've covered the latest boosters. They were released before any human testing is complete. This is the first time in medical history that a product was developed and not tested in a single human being, and the government's going to roll this out and now say a needle in every arm.
This is a COVID booster, all right? This is your fourth or fifth shot, third, fourth, or fifth, sixth, however you're dumb enough to take.
This is brought right up until a few days ago. Look at this. Had that big push in 2020. Everyone was scared, safe and effective, safe and effective. Then we got through 2021. That secondary wave, those are the mandates. People say, listen, I don't want to take these, but I got to take it for my job. Now look at this. We're down to no interest in these. I predict, since the companies that made these bivalent vaccines, the United States, by the way, has bought enough boosters for nearly the entire country. We have drained our treasury dry. What are they going to do? They've bought all this product. It's going to be shipped to the pharmacies. Look at the data here. Nobody wants these. We are going to have the biggest tension of, are people going to be clobbered with mandates and pressure and coercion to take these untested products? Or is America going to have the wherewithal and the strength to say no more?
Well, and then you go to Bolshevik Biden, who's now saying that anyone who supports MAGA is an enemy of the state, a terrorist. So this is all over the top crazy, designed to be crazy. You don't take down a civilization like ours, a nation, a culture, a history, easily. It has to get ugly. And the plug has been pulled, and it is imploding. Biden, whoever's supplying him, is becoming more dangerous with his rhetoric all the time. You best be careful. Anyhow, good for Peter. He stood tall and told it straight. Excellent.
Well, so with these boosters, these are a little bit different than the ones that have come before, because, as we were saying, they provide the code to manufacture the Omicron spike, which is slightly different from the original spike. Now, why they would still include the original? Well, maybe for those amyloidogenic sequences or prion domains. And what do we really know about the Omicron spike?
Nothing.
There were some rumors.
Rumors, yeah. I don't know anything for sure. Yeah.
I don't know if there's any consensus on whether or not this thing actually evolved naturally. It doesn't look like it when you look at the sequences that are in there. I mean, there's 32 mutations in the spike alone.
Uh-huh.
and there's insertions and deletions that just would not appear through a natural evolution. So it's likely some sort of lab-generated construct. Well, what is it known for? Early on, there were some rumors that there were some kind of microRNAs in there that would have some bearing on the ability to control or induce cancer, as in oncomeres.
Uncle
who? Is that something we want to be injecting?
Oncomeres?
Oncomeres.
Never mind. I'm kidding. I'm going to make the point. She's talking about cancer. Oncomeres, cancer.
Yeah, so there are many microRNAs that are critical in controlling for cancer. Does this thing, this spike, somehow influence your production of microRNAs that would regulate your body's surveillance of cancer? I don't know. We're seeing a lot of cancer.
We're seeing horrific cancers.
Yeah.
Unbelievable cancers.
I don't know. You know, that was unverified, that whole whether or not this thing was actually associated with microRNAs having to do with surveilling for cancer, or possibly at one point somebody said there was a sequence from the XMRV, that murine gamma retrovirus, in this spike. I don't know, but regardless, these people are now going to be shedding the original spike protein and now this Omicron variant spike protein into the environment for others to be exposed to. And it's already, my sense is, reading these reports from the shedding groups, there are more and more people being affected by shedding. Why that is, I just think there's more spike in the environment right now. And it, from what I hear, can persist on inanimate objects, on clothing, on bedding, fomites. So if you were somehow immune to the original spike that people were shedding from the vaccine, things may change with the new spike, the Omicron spike. Time will tell.
Tick, tick, tick. Coming soon.
And whatever else they're shedding. We you know, the URA 3665 is obviously in the mix, was in the mix, may still be in the mix.
We don't, you know, one day, and there are probably other things besides the 3665 that we don't have a label for yet, that are not easily detectable by the advanced mechanisms that we have in laboratories to do the kind of work and research that we need to do to find these things out, find out all about them. We can't even see them. This is stealthy stuff.
Right. So, and, you know, if they're using any of these self-amplifying mRNAs, you only need a fraction. I think what I read was 1/64th of the amount that you would need for messenger RNA. If you used a self-amplifying mRNA, it would be a fraction of it. Very difficult to detect. And yet when it gets in the body, it starts copying itself.
All right. Okay. So there's our first half for you. Let's move into the second half. We're going to dive into more of these real life cases that are never reported in the mainstream media. They are being hidden from us, and there's no mystery why. This new group that we've been monitoring, Erica's on it every day, has grown from 40,000 members in less than 2 weeks. What is it now?
I think today it was up to 193,000.
Y'all get the picture, do you? That there's a lot of folk out there that are suffering and have lost loved ones who have nobody to talk to about this. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's. So they've got these social media platforms, which are actually serving probably the best purpose they've ever served right now by giving some of these lonely, destroyed people someone to talk to, which is nice. Okay, where do you want to start? September 5th?
Yeah, let's. The myocarditis one is, I would think, somewhat representative of people who have been vax injured and they're just being left to deal with their issues on their own.
Two of those.
Ignored, denied.
Okay, I think there are two of them. If that is the
one and two.
Okay, go ahead with one.
Okay, this person says, "How many of you wish you hadn't got the shot? Now, how many tell people and they don't listen? How many took that vaccine card and found the person that gave you the shot? Maybe if each injured person went out there and found the person who gave them the shot and talked to that person and said, 'You did this.' If enough doctors, nurses, pharmacists, etc., who gave the shots started feeling like absolute garbage for hurting people, then maybe there would be less people to give them. So go out of your way and meet the person that ruined your life. If you agree, pass this on. Maybe this is a way to get the word out. I know a person who was pro-vax and gave many shots. Now he feels guilty and has retired."
Well, he's a murderer. He's a killer.
Yeah.
So, and if you do go out and confront someone, be damn careful with your choice of words, or they will call the police and you will be arrested.
Yeah,
that's what they'll do. These are cowardly people, many of them. They know what they've done. They did it for the money, and they hide behind the government approval or lack of approval, EUA. So be careful if you do this, because there are some who have lost a little son or a daughter, 5, 6 years old, who will go out and find that person and exact retribution, an eye for an eye. I'm not suggesting that's good, or they should, but it can happen.
Without question. I mean, there are people that are just, they'll be fed up, and they have no hope, no future. And
their life is over.
They're not getting
what
any...
they got to lose? Go ahead.
Especially if they're being ignored. You know, there's...
Right.
They're left to solve these problems on their own.
Shot, and the doctor laughs at them or something. Oh, I just doing my job. Okay, buddy.
Right.
You just signed your own warrant. That's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. And you're going with me. That's going to happen. And we don't want that to happen. So be careful. All right.
There's one response here that gives you a feel for, there's still people defending the perpetrators of this. In response to that, this woman says, "Without a doubt, the vaccine has actually prevented many deaths. To prove this, look at admission and death figures, pre- and post-vaccine availability. Making people feel guilty for doing their job helps absolutely nobody. The people you suggest targeting will be the same people who were nursing COVID patients at the beginning of the pandemic, terrified by the unknown and having to watch their patients die, gasping for every breath because there was no treatment, nothing that could be done. How soon people forget."
Remdesivir treatment.
Well, the thing is, there was treatment, but it was denied.
Ivermectin. No.
Yeah, HCQ. Yeah, there were treatments. There are treatments.
Ivermectin has been called the most marvelous antiviral ever created by somebody, and said superior things like that have been uttered about it. The man who invented it for human use got a Nobel. But back when Nobels meant something, when they gave it to Obama, that was the end of it. Okay. Very good. Finish. There's another piece here, the original poster.
All right. He comes back and he said, "Well, so would have been telling people to get healthy, eat better, get exercise, get outside, get some sun. Remember, we were taught this in grade 3 to 5. Why was that not pushed by media, government, pharmacists, doctors, etc.? Just really stop hard and think about that. I also know the stats out there are heavily skewed. Sadly, my uncle passed. He had COVID two months prior. He was over that. He got sick and passed away. They put COVID on his death certificate. My aunt freaked on them, and they changed it. How many more just like that?" And so that's a hard way to wake up.
Yeah. This woman comes back and says, your suggestion for eating better, etc., wasn't pushed, as you put it, because it will do absolutely blank all to help someone with bilateral pneumonia, failing kidneys, or blood clots from COVID-19. Have you stopped and thought really hard about that? And then she says, believe what you wish, but I personally find it unlikely that the entire world is conspiring about reported statistics. Your suggestion is still targeting the wrong people. And then she adds to that, this group is doing exactly the right thing by providing support and information and suggestions from personal experience, which will also support people who advocate to their own medical provider.
Someone's living in a little delirium.
A low-paid shill, sounds like.
There's a few that, they are still defending these atrocities. They can't accept that, you know, this is contrived and...
It's an op. It's a genocidal op, the likes of which can't even be imagined by most of the sheep, until and unless they start to lose loved ones and feel the pain directly. And then they start to think, well, maybe I should have looked a little harder. Okay, next.
Why don't we do this shedding one? This is kind of insightful.
One, two, three, four, five?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm dealing with family and friends that literally think I'm being very paranoid about this shedding. Some think I'm acting psychotic. I have declined invitations to parties and barbecues because of vaxxed people being there. I have to be honest, I'm starting to feel very lonely. I haven't seen other family members because some of them have been vaxxed. How do you all deal with that part of this? Is there a way to avoid being contaminated when being near vaxxed people? Thanks again. Go ahead.
Okay. First response. We feel you. I am sure there are many in this group who feel the same way. My parents and sister cannot understand why we cannot allow them to have physical contact with my young kids. Every time my kids have exposure, they suffer. But my family feels we are seeing things that are not there. However, I told them the truth regarding this whole pandemic, hoping they would understand why shedding is dangerous, but unfortunately they just want to follow the crowd and feel that that is the truth. Stay strong and believe you are doing the right thing.
Next comment. Hi, I'm over in Queensland, and I am suffering the same as you. We are never alone because we have people like each other and the source from which we came. I believe strongly we are listening to our intuition and should not be afraid to have decorative friends or family. If they truly care, then they will read about it. My family and friends refuse to read about it and judge. Do yours? A hug from over here to you. This is a very long one. Take the first half of this one.
Okay. They all shed, and if they're boosted, it's much worse. But I get you. For me, it started even before the jab fest. I stopped going to any business gathering or function requiring masks and PCR sinus sodomy. For me, this meant no more church, no more group treks, no more dining out or pub meets with friends, no more trips out of town or abroad to see the people I love most. Then the jab started, which made everything worse because now I technically can be around people, but I still can't because most are double jabbed and cause me to fall ill. Some people I'm close to came to town for a few days to visit their relatives and wanted me to come over and visit too. I legitimately had to work going on for a couple of those days, so I wriggled out like that, but then on Sunday I had no excuse. I told them I had to take my dog to the vet unexpectedly. I hated lying to these people like that, but at the same time, I was already fighting off my second round of shingles and really could not risk any more exposure. And if I be truthful, they will be very insulted and also think I am crazy.
One thing I do when I'm bored or lonely is go outside, go for a walk, or up on the terrace. I have pets, so spending time with them helps. If you really need to see these people, maybe limit visits to once a month and make it brief. Plan ahead so you can have some story ready as to why you need to leave or schedule it when you have some actual obligation elsewhere to scoot off to. Start taking some prophylaxis the day or night before, whichever method you normally use. Take a thermos of pine needle tea along and sip on that while you're there. Try to avoid sharing meals if possible. If they already think you're crazy for talking about shedding, don't waste your time trying. The end result will only increase your mental stress. Now, he said something interesting up at the top that Erica read. I like this expression. PCR, as in the test up your nose. He called it PCR sinus sodomy.
And that's a good one.
That's really apropos.
Yeah, it is.
That's very on the money. Okay. Shedding. We're going to go back to what we've said before. Direct skin contact seems to be the most dangerous path not to follow now. You want to stay away from that. Exhalations. Oh, you don't want to be sitting next to somebody who's laughing in your face. Of course not. You're going to get spiked that way too. A doorknob. Your car handle. Groceries you pick up off the shelf who have been stocked by people who are working late at night and sweaty and tired, and they grab the top of your bottle of, I mentioned the other day, lemonade, whatever you're buying. You've got to be careful and think, okay? We're not suggesting you become paranoid. We were suggesting you become practical. Okay. See? All right, we got the message. We're just telling the story straight here. The last little bit on the shedding was speak to them on the phone, and instead of the excuse of shedding, just tell them you're busy. Okay. Now, more and more people are going to move into a very lonely portion of their lifetime. And you're going to have to make the decision. Is it okay to be lonely? Can I deal with it? Can I develop myself? Can I do things that I find interesting? Or am I going to have to be around these other people and risk my life? And direct contact seems to be most quickly manifested in many cases, not all, with shingles. Okay? So if you are touched around your hands, arm, whatever, and you get shingles, you've been spiked. If you're with someone and they're laughing in your face or coughing and you get shingles, you've been spiked. You should get past it. Should be no problem. But it's not fun. It's very painful. And it can be scary. But it's there. And they just wanted you to be sure that they were listening, Erica. Like we don't
so, yeah, there's clearly something that's being shed, whether it's the spike or micro-RNAs that's suppressing people's immune systems, which is, you know, we believe is the reason why the shingles is occurring at alarming rates in the unvaxxed. I mean, I still remember Dr. Tenpenny telling the story of a woman whose husband got vaxxed. She didn't. And within 2 weeks, she ended up in the ICU with herpes zoster meningitis, which is, you know, shingles that's gone to the brain.
Ouch. And now we have the possibility of direct contact or indirect contact shedding leading to cancer. Not just herpes zoster. I hate to even say it.
Starting to look like a thing, too.
So they have this planned out. They say 70% vaxxed, 80% vaxxed. They knew how they were going to get the other 20% or have a good shot at it. called shedding. No big surprise.
Yeah,
well over a year and a half. Go ahead.
Yeah, at this point, you don't need the virus anymore. You know, the virus came in, the poison came in on a virus. But now that they've got people injected with a code to make the poison, they don't even need the virus anymore.
Virus is gone.
We've got the protein, the lethal protein.
There's spike factories, and they're leaving
The people who have been injected are neutralizing the protein as it's being produced, so they're not sick like you would think they should be sick, at least not initially. But that's the deception. You know, they look fine, and they're meanwhile they're spreading this lethal protein.
Let's do one more here. We can stretch a minute or two. Smells. You've got one smells here.
Okay.
Go ahead. You find it?
I think the smells are getting stronger. I don't know what that means. I could really smell the vax today. Three people walked past me at the gas station, and two of them smelled so bad, I actually said, whew, and batted the air to get the smell away before realizing someone could notice my odd behavior. Then I passed a heavy-set woman on a playground supervising children, and I could smell that awful smell about 30 feet away. It was hot outside. Maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe the children were vaxxed, too. Several had masks on.
Okay. Lesson, if you begin to smell strange smells in closed quarters, so to speak, or close quarters, restaurants, doctor's offices, if you go to your massage therapist, anybody in massage therapy now should quit immediately. This is crazy. Or restrict their practice, which may be illegal to the unvaxxed. But you cannot be putting your hands on a vaxxed person. Can't do it.
No, not without consequences.
No. And so once you've been shed upon and you have a reaction, whatever it is, a headache, a sore shoulder, sore leg, and you are sensitized to it. If you get a second time in your life where you're all of a sudden feeling lousy and you've been around people who have been vaxxed, you have been hypersensitized. So anytime you're around this stuff that's being exuded, either through exhalations or direct contact, you may well feel worse each time. So you must be careful. Keep a pair of gloves in your car when you go into the store. Just put the gloves on. No one's going to say anything. You can get deer skin gloves or deer skin colored gloves, and people won't even notice. Put your mask on. There's still a lot of people wearing masks. Be careful. That's what we're asking.
Yeah, just be careful. You know, there's more of whatever's being shed in the environment now than there's ever been. And these boosters, you know, we're going to have two different types of spike.
Hell on earth. Two different kinds of spike now in these boosters. So
yeah.
Shedding will become even more pathological. This is not a joke. So for those of you who want to make the effort, we stand behind you 100%. If you don't, we still stand behind you because you're listening and you're learning. And that's what these programs are supposed to be for. All right, my dear. Thank you. Wonderful job, as always.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
Have a good night, everyone.
We will be right back with Hour 3 and Mitch Henderson coming up next. So that hour will be posted, and you're more than welcome to send it to anyone you'd like. Please do. Anyone who's still sitting on the fence or whatever. We're here for you. Remember that. We're not here for selling supplements. I've been selling supplements for nearly 30 years, a very few of them, and only the best of the best. That's not why I'm here. Okay, we'll be right back.